Oh, I got his ass now.
Do I have to be fast on the track?
I hate that guy.
This race could change the rest of your life.
Those absolute clowns at 15BMX.com.
Go on, do my best, and whatever happens, then it's good.
My butt all got stretched a little bit. And
I got a tight little butt.
Look, I'm about to light this shit up.
Coffee Chatter Live, where are you guys at? Oh, Canada! Coming out of the answer tent right now. Pop Dog Millionaire! Let's make some noise, Tori Nighthawk! Whoa!
Show 241, baby. Olympic test event recap plus extra stuff. Tuesday, April 9th, 2024. Palm Daddy.
T-Daddy, how we doing, buddy?
We are podcasting in person, baby.
Same place, same room. It's been, I don't know how long since we've done one of these, but it feels good.
I don't know what's more rare, us podcasting together or the solar eclipse. It's kind of pretty fucking similar these days. When's the last time we podcasted together in Canada?
Good question.
Years.
Yeah, because even the times you were home in the past couple years, we were always either I wasn't here or you were here for coaching, so you weren't in the same place, didn't record a podcast. It's kind of one of those deals, I feel like. So it's been years. It's been a long time.
Dude, it's been a long time. Maybe like...
COVID?
Yeah.
Probably COVID.
Yeah. COVID times is probably the last time.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Speaking of the solar eclipse, I thought those were very rare.
I think they're every like...
Is there once a year? Every once a few years?
I was going to say every 30 years.
Oh, shit.
Cause I think I'm way off.
What was the thing when we were driving through Calgary that one time? We were all looking at the sun with...
It was a solar eclipse, too. And we were talking about don't look directly at it or you'll scald your eyes.
Yeah. But that was like...
Did you see what just happened on my laptop just then?
Did you just look up solar
eclipse? I typed in solar eclipse and it had a little solar eclipse that just came across the screen, dude. That's wild.
Because I thought that was a solar eclipse and that was
2017. 7 years ago? Every 1 to 3 years. Dude, there was one last year in San Diego. Come to think of it.
One to three.
Okay, so there was one in San Diego. Okay, it's not that cool. But it was like, I don't know why I thought it was once every 30 years, but boy, was that off.
It still is cool if it's only one day.
So we're more rare in meeting up for a coffee chatter in person than we are than a solar eclipse.
Damn, you guys are lucky people out there, hey? Shit.
ProGate Europe, winning starts the great gate. Beth Schriever, great starter. Winner of the 2024 Olympic test event in Paris. We're going to get into it in a few minutes here, but she's undefeated anything Olympic related at this point.
Kind of wild to think about that if you put that in perspective.
Kind of a wild stat. You know, Olympic between Olympics and Olympic test events, she's never lost.
Wait, she won the other test event too?
Okay, never mind. You got me.
Who won?
No, she didn't win. I don't remember who won. Didn't Saya win or something?
It's a great question. All I remember is there was some discussion about Laura getting cut off and DQ'd because she, quote unquote, apparently crossed the line where the tracks met up, basically. Some bullshit like that. I don't know.
I'm gonna be honest, the undefeated quote, I kind of just said it in the moment because it sounded right. And I completely forgot about the test event before Tokyo.
From Tokyo to now.
Okay, yeah, it doesn't sound as great, but there you go. In other news, the last, Friday through the weekend, I had my first two clinics of 2024, Vernon BMX on Friday and Kelowna BMX Saturday, Sunday. Thanks to both tracks for having me out to coach. Both were sold out and had riders travel from quite far to come and train, so I appreciate everyone coming out. I'll definitely be back at both tracks again next year. My next clinic's at Mag Ridge BMX in Mississippi, April 27th, 28th, so reach out to the track if you'd like to register. But it's good to be back in Canada. Had a blast. It was crispy and cold in the mornings, and I was wearing my puffy at the track.
It's quite funny, all the shit you were getting, hey?
There's been comments coming my way in person, and I get some in my DMs of how I've gotten soft living in California. I shouldn't say in my defense, that is true, but parents were also wearing puffies at the track.
Let's justify things here, okay?
Let's
justify it.
So the Emersons family I work with, they live in northern Idaho, Coeur d'Alene. They came out to my Vernon clinic on Friday. I didn't have gloves with me. It was really cold at the track in the evening because I coached from 4 to 8. So like especially the last 2 hours was pretty cold. Thankfully, Allie gave me her gloves, so I had gloves to wear. I then pinched the gloves and kept them for Kelowna on the weekend. Still have them. I don't think they're getting them back, and they saved my hands.
Huge play. Gloves are a huge play in that situation when you're freezing cold like that. Isn't Kelowna's kind of like deserty land, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it's like a true desert, but it's like kind of semi-desert, yeah. So it gets pretty, I mean, it gets really hot in the summer, obviously, but it, yeah, it's like 2 degrees Celsius in the morning. It was cold.
It's fucking, it's April in Canada, guys. Like, I'm giving, let's
April
come
on in Canada.
Now. Easy.
Driving through the mountains was 1 degree and snowing.
Yeah, see, no, what are we doing?
Springtime, baby.
People are giving you shit for that. Dude, I'm wearing like big layers right
exactly.
now. Exactly. So mm-hmm. I live here, but I'm soft too. So, I mean, let's be real.
I hate being cold.
By the way, can you put that on the shared drive?
This is.
Is it?
Show 241.
All right. Let me check. Sorry about that. Continue.
It was untitled. That's probably why.
It might be at the bottom. Let me look. Yeah. Found it.
Got it. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, the springtime weather isn't quite here yet in Canada, but, you know, we're working through it up here.
We're almost there.
So yes, we are. Almost there. Olympic test event this past weekend. Did you feel like it was a little, I don't want to say, maybe under the radar a little bit? Like, didn't quite seem like a huge deal?
Yeah, a little bit, but I don't know if that's all the test events because they don't put them, like, this is the first one myself, you're included, haven't been at one to have somebody on the inside to kind of get a little bit of this, like, obviously the guys are there, their boys are there, friends, but I wasn't chatting to a bunch of them. I've been really busy. You've been really busy. So I haven't, like, chatted to anybody about it that much. And without it being online, it's really been hard to find videos. Like, I've had to, like, go through the depths of Instagram to find a video.
Can we talk about that? How do we not have a video of the mains at the Olympic test event?
But it's a test event.
Yeah,
I feel like it's got to be, like, you got to be a little bit secret about the test event. You know what I mean? You don't want people thinking that it's a real race because, you know, it's a race, but it's like it's not the race.
Okay, but in the BMX world, in the BMX stratosphere of things that we're all in. We can't even see any videos. I saw the only coverage I really saw were people's photos after racing of it.
I kind of like it.
I
kind of like it. Like, I'm pissed off that I couldn't watch the motos or the races or the semis. But at the end of the day, it's like, I'm a fan now too. So I'm like, dude, give me the real deal when it comes. But it teases me a little bit. Like, I want more now.
I need to see videos of it. That's where I'm at. I need to see videos of it.
I want to see how the track ride. I want to see the action.
It's not like... Everyone's there. Like, how is there no coverage of it?
Yeah. I think it's a secret thing. Was there, I don't think there was ever a coverage of Tokyo. There wasn't coverage of Rio.
You know, it probably was all the same shit, wasn't
it? It's all the same. But you got to wait because people always put out YouTube videos of everything. So that's where we'll get the video.
What do you think of some riders not choosing to go? Like, Romain didn't go. Elise didn't go. Those are kind of the two notables off my head that didn't go. What do you think?
I don't mind it one bit. Like, I think it's, they're not wasting their time with something that's not going to benefit them enough. You know what I mean? Like, I think, take Romain, he's ridden in that track, that facility, not the actual track layout, but he's ridden that facility for so many years. He feels comfortable there. He's not worried about that. I don't think, we'll get into some of the questions we have from fans later, but one of the big ones was the track. And I don't think the track's technical enough now where people need a lot of time on it to prepare. And with the corners being the same, like the guys that Romain, I think they already know how to ride those things well enough that they're not, there's no reason to go adjust the training program to get an extra lap on that track.
I agree with, in regards to Romain, like, he obviously knows the track really well, knows the area, knows the stadium, all that. So it kind of makes no difference for him. I think if you're not French and don't like live there or haven't rode there a lot, I think it's a mistake to not go because yeah, the track isn't that technical, so for sure you have enough time in the Olympics to get it dialed and everything, but I think it just helps, like, you go there, you get used to the stadium, you kind of have a mental blueprint of the track. There's maybe a few little nuanced things you pick up that you have to practice in the couple months leading to the Olympics. You get a kind of an updated blueprint in your mind of, like, what the hill feels like, what the high-end spin feels like, and you can kind of tailor training a bit to it. I think it's somewhat of a mistake to not go. Mm-hmm. I would want to go, and I took a lot of notes, like at the test event in Rio, or when we went. No, it was different from the test event. When we went in the spring, like, I took a lot of notes for every straightaway of what to train, what the track was like, whatever, and it helped us in our prep for the Olympics. I think it really helps.
It's like I want to be that sport and be that kind of person that says, yeah, like, dude, if you can get all that knowledge, it's like, I love when golfers talk about, oh, they're getting it. You know, they're checking out the greens, seeing how they roll and all that stuff. But does it really make you train any differently? Are you going to do anything different other than maybe visualize some stuff or what?
I didn't think, it's not like I trained vastly different, but I'd say like it helped just having like a blueprint of it in my mind, knowing what to expect, knowing what it felt like, knowing.
Right.
Yeah, I think those details matter.
Do you think the videos nowadays are enough for that with the simplicity of the track as well?
I guess it depends what type of person you are, but I like to feel things.
Yeah.
I like to be there and like feel what it's like. So I guess, you know, some people might not need that, but I think it helps.
It's obviously like you're looking for the small percentages. So I guess it's like it's determining whether like the small percentage for you is getting that extra time on the track, or that small percentage is knowing that you had your good training block and I don't need to worry about splitting it up, I guess.
But also, like, I get it because obviously Elise has Tulsa and World Championship Rock Hill coming up, and it's kind of like you just stay stateside and train and whatnot. So that you don't have to do the travel overseas. So that makes a difference too.
It's also, it's crazy how much practice time they even give you at the big events like the Olympics and stuff. Like you have 4 days on the track, I feel like, before the official practice, before racing.
Yeah, you have a shit ton. You could really blow yourself out in practice if you wanted to.
Just do every practice, go ham every practice. You'd be done by race day.
You would. Yeah. It's a common thing at bigger races because people go in feeling fresh and just super excited and ready. You want to just battle people in practice and then just blow themselves out in a couple of days of practice.
Yeah, it's true.
You have to be disciplined and know that you're ready and just take your time to get used to the track. And then a key thing is like once you're done, once you're used to the track, just stop. There's no sense of just practice to practice at a big race.
Once you know that, it's just really true. Once you know the track, all you're doing is prepping for racing at that point. So what is it going to take you to get prepped?
Yeah, 100%.
There's a few good crashes at the event, which kind of sucks too, but I think they're all right. I saw Simon and Kai White took a couple spills.
Simon, talk about a fucking wounded soldier leaving the track. Bubble wrapped in Band-Aids after that. Jeez. Oh, man, we've all been there too. You just like your whole body's on fire. You just can't move. You can't sleep. You wake up. The sheets are sticking to you. You're covered in blood. It's like a fucking massacre at the Holiday Inn.
Oh, it's the worst. Like those. Oh, God. It's probably like 2 weeks at least of just shitty sleeps. Because even if it's like, okay, you're a stomach sleeper and you scraped your back. Okay, well, the sheets on top of you are just sticking to you. If it's the other way around, you're like, it's just like, there's always something.
He crashed really hard in the first corner.
I saw it one time, the video, and yeah, it was classic. He got kind of teed off a little bit from the top, and then high side hit the turn. Is that what happened?
Yeah, and he crashed like right in the middle of the corner, kind of got sniped a bit. It was bad.
You're going so fast in these tracks now too. As soon as you crash on a turn like that, like bye-bye skin.
Yeah, and that first straight you're moving too. There's so much pedaling.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you like that nowadays? Like, do you like I love three jump first straights in a Papendal sense. I don't like it when it's too tight, but obviously hate it when it's like a small two jump first straight as well. So it's like I feel like we've had a few of these tracks now where there's just a massive sprint from the first to the second jump. I don't know if I like it or dislike it. What do you think?
It's a little sketchy.
Just the all-out sprint?
God, you go into the first corner like way too fast.
I really think so.
I think so. I think on a straight like that, when you have room, I think it's better to have three jumps. It's like you land the first jump, get a push, grab a pedal or two, another jump, grab a couple of pedals, and then triple into the corner or whatever. I think I like that better than just, I don't know, having a big wide open sprint on Supercross. I think like a normal track, you can do the longer sprint and it's good. And like it, I don't know, really works, but I don't love it on Supercross.
I don't know if you remember, but Paris's track, is it a slight angle?
As in like uphill and downhill?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I feel like it is. I just don't remember if it's... I feel like it's a slight uphill down the first and third straight and downhill the other ways, but I don't remember exactly. It's what I remember it being, a smidgen.
Yeah, I can't remember. You don't want a downhill first straight with a ton of sprinting.
That's... Oh, no. None of that. Any other notables from the race, though? Like it seemed like it raced pretty well.
Yeah, I think pretty basic. I mean, didn't really see much racing, obviously. Beth won... One of the guys, Ross won?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ross won.
Bloke. He's really, like, since he got his bloke status at the Worlds last year, he really hasn't relinquished it.
He's bloke. He's full bloke.
He's a fucking bloke, man. Full on English bloke looking to make his mark.
I remember one of the shows we did, it was like, will this person win the Worlds? And I think I was like, I think I said probably like, yeah, probably not for Ross. I think I was a mistake.
Dude, he can have some big results the next few years.
I think so.
He's on a steady rise. He's leveled up. He's leveled up huge.
I think within the next year, World Cup win. Hold on. Yeah. When's the next? I don't know when the World Cups are next year, but give it 12 months, maybe 14, 16 months, World Cup win.
So through 2025, you think he does? I could totally see that happening.
Definitely by the end of by the end of 2025, I'd say World Cup win.
I can see that happening. Tough travel for the Americans and South Americans too, racing in Colombia this week at Conti Champs.
Oh.
Holy shit, that's a lot of travel.
I was wondering why the U.S. guys were in Bogota now. I was like, why the hell they go all the way down there?
I think it's Continental Champs, and yeah, that's a lot of fucking travel. You go to Paris, down to Bogota, back to Tulsa. I mean, that's a lot.
Especially after 3 days of racing in Paris. So, you know, they did a quali day to get into the quote-unquote test event, and then they actually ran the format, which is, I don't know if it's kind of funny, kind of interesting, but yeah.
You know what you could do, because the race doesn't mean anything? You could just go there and practice and, like, do a few of the laps and then just stop if you really wanted.
Yeah. I feel like guys, did they do that? No, maybe they didn't do that before, but yeah. I'd like to know what the guys thought of the format, hear how it worked and stuff. So
they always try, like, the Olympics is funny. Like, it's just so different than any other race. I guess it doesn't really make a difference because we're all used to doing random shit at race day or different formats. But it's kind of funny that it's like, it's just different than what you normally do.
Classic, you know, big event. They got to do something different. Reinvent the wheel.
You know, it's funny. Like the Olympics, they try a lot of new stuff. They almost change sports sometimes. Like field lacrosse is going to be the next Olympics. And instead of, I want to say it's 9 players on the field, they're going to go 6 players and they're going to go like a smaller field or something. They're going to do like a hybrid.
I've asked people about that because I'm very curious of what's going on. And I think that's the weirdest thing.
Dude, they're changing the entire sport. And it's like, it's something the guys haven't even played. You're going to have to play it different.
Yeah. I think it's weird. Yeah.
Super weird. It's like either I think you do the sport or you don't do it. I don't think you change the sport.
I know. It's like they're trying to just make things for the Olympics now instead of being like, okay, what do we have? Let's see who's the best at it. But at the same time, like they switched. Did rugby sevens come into play because that's what they wanted in the Olympics? Do you know? Like that was a long time ago.
Or if it was the thing and then they just rolled with it. I don't know. But as we talk about this, BMX actually got changed because they created BMX Supercross and it got in the Olympics.
And now it's like, that's what we fucking do.
That is what we do. But like that at the time, there was a complete, imagine being a pro in like fucking 04 or 05. And they're like, okay, guys, you've been racing BMX for a long time. Here's something new.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to throw a huge 8 meter high start hill up there. And you're just going to rip down it 8 wide like normal. But we're just going to put jumps at the bottom. And you know that second straight pro straight you normally have? Yeah, that's going to be the first jump though.
Can you imagine? You're like, wow, you mean we got to go up this 8 meter hill and we're just going to send it?
Like it was probably already feeling, I mean, like an action sport as it was. And then the guys are like, well, shit. Like...
That's wild. Like at least everyone now, the last however many years, like you kind of know Supercross, you grow up with it a bit more or less, and it's kind of like expected. But man, with them, it was just brought on them.
Crazy. Do you think any of them were like, are we getting more money for this now? Like, because this is even crazier. Do you think they were going like that?
I wonder if they did with Do Tour and stuff. I don't know if we've asked because it was in Do Tour and like X Games and stuff. They must have got more money than they were getting paid for normal races.
I think it's nuts that the whole action sport world is. It's not gone, but it's definitely less than it was in the early 2000s, mid 2000s. Like X Games was very prevalent. Do Tour was huge. There was like other Gravity Games was kind of the X Games, but things like that. There were even other action sports was massive. And they still have the X Games, but I don't think it's to the same level it was.
100% agree. And I was going to ask, like once in a while, I'll just see random X Games on TV and I'll turn it on. It'll be kind of boring and then I'll turn it off. Do they still do the whole X Games thing? Is it every year, every few?
What? It's like they have like 3 now a year. It's like 2 or 3 a year. I think they have different stops around different places, I think. Don't quote me on this, but I've seen like they'll have a stop in like Japan. They'll have X Games Japan. I think they'll have one in Europe somewhere maybe. And then like an X Games US, that kind of deal.
I watched it a while ago. I think they were in Minneapolis. There was like no one in the stands.
Oh, I know. But they're also doing that in the biggest stadium possible.
Mm-hmm.
They've done it in LA, I think, a couple times now. I think, like since then.
It seems very much like a Southern California deal.
I think so. And that's a good one. What was I going to say? I can't remember. It's tough though. But you know, I remember when I was a kid, like I would like probably, let's say, late 2000s, early 2010s. I would like mark down when it is and I would like block my days off so I could watch the X Games on TV because I wasn't recording it. And I could watch it. And nowadays I'm like, I don't even know when it's on.
I know. And it's like you turn it on. It's kind of like there's what's that one best trick where they just take videos of them doing tricks at home?
I don't know what that is, but yeah, dude, it's ridiculous.
This seems really dumb.
Some of the video, like, I mean, I like the video, the street parts they do or the video parts they do. I love that stuff because that's like people working on like a project going for it. But there are a couple of ridiculous ones. It's kind of wild to think that quarter pipe highest air is an event in the X Games. Like Moto X highest air on the quarter pipe.
It's a fucking wild sport. Imagine just like full speed and send it. Have you like, I remember I watched on TV as a kid, like half pipe skiing and snowboarding. I was skiing with my parents and sister at Whistler when I was a kid, and like we could roll through the half pipe. I was rolling through it. It's like inverted.
It's nuts, isn't it?
It is insane. TV does not do it justice how big and gnarly those half pipes are.
It is like, I don't think, yeah, I think the height of it especially, and then you're right, like how inverted it is. It's like the, once again, bring it back to X Games. Is it Megapipe? Is that what it's called? Like when they're doing like BMX and skateboarding on the actual half pipe. That thing is so big and so inverted. Like
it's crazy.
You watch like normal people try to ride that thing and they can't.
You can't even get like halfway up.
Yeah.
It's crazy. All right. Let's get into some future headlines here. This, you know what? We got some good feedback on this segment. Had some people at San Diego BMX come up to me and say the future headline said segment was great.
People loved it. Hey.
Yeah. So we're going to roll with it. We're going to roll with it. Let's do it. All right. Future headline one. And by the way, this is people's first time listening to the segment. We say the headline and then we say if we agree or disagree and we discuss.
Okay.
An American named Cam wins the 2024 World Championships in Rock Hill. It's a good one.
Oh, wow.
So
yes,
they could. I kind of think yeah too.
Yes,
dude. I kind of think yes. I mean, they're both fast as shit in Rock Hill. They're both fast in general. Cam Wood coming back from a shoulder injury. Okay. I mean, I still think he'll be ready to go in Rock Hill. Mr. Larson.
He loves that place.
On a tear, especially in Rock Hill.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go one of them wins.
I'll agree with that. Yeah. I'm a little, I thought Cam Wood's injury was, obviously it was very severe to his shoulder. A lot of damage by the sounds of it. But his original one was, he got surgery on. It took a month to come back from. This one, it seems like he came back a little quicker, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's been really secretive about it. So I wonder if it's one of those things where like he might need surgery down the road, but he just kind of physioed it and duct taped it together and it's just going to run it.
I would imagine it's kind of this is the year to do that. So it seems like it could be that.
Because obviously if it's surgery, like I think he had the last surgery on the last one. It's probably like a 6-month thing, but who knows? Like, I don't know. He hasn't said what it is. I don't know enough about it, but... Yeah, I'm sure it's one of those things you can physio and kind of just get through it, even though it's not great.
Get through the year, and then the end of the season, there's minimal races other than the USA Series, yeah. So you're fine. So either way, though, I say yes. One of those Cams, I think they've been great at that facility, so I'd say yes.
Would you take Cam or the field? I guess we kind of answered it, but would you the Cams?
Well, I mean,
take those two Cams or the field?
If I'm putting money on it, I'm taking the field, but I also am like close enough where if I'm not putting money on it, holy crap. I'm not putting money on it. I think one of them has a high potential of winning. So.
It seems absurd to take two guys over the whole field, but I'm kind of leaning to taking the two guys.
Yeah, I'm taking the field if I were putting money. Dude,
like I know.
That's just insane.
All right, fuck it. I'll take the Cams over the field.
Yeah.
All right. Future headline number two. Beth Schriever is your 2024 Olympic champion. I'm going yes.
Dude, yes. The way she rides at the big events and the way she, I mean, she just did it again at the test event. The way the track is at the test event as well, I say yes. Mm-hmm. I think she could do it from eight.
Yeah. It's tough for me. I don't think she does it from eight.
I think she could. I think she's got that. We talk about the sprint after the first jump. I think she doesn't dominate, but she's still a level above.
Sai in one. I think she's getting it from eight.
I mean, I think it's tough.
Eight's tough in Paris, I think.
I just think Beth has that gear sometimes. And on the open sprint like that into the first turn, I think there's a gear that she clicks.
I mean, I don't think she's in lane eight at the Olympics. So I think she, like lanes 1 through 4, I think she wins.
Okay. She might not even take eight. She might even go six, but yeah, I think she does.
All right. Molly Simpson is your first ever Canadian BMXer to win an Olympic medal.
Ooh, great question. Do I want this to happen? Yes. Do I think it's going to be tough?
Okay, I wrote, is your first ever Canadian BMXer win an Olympic medal in general?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't say the year.
Oh, yes.
So I'm going yes also.
Yeah, you're right. You didn't put a year, then yes.
No, so in general, so she, how old is she, 21?
She will be, friends. She'll be like 22, I think.
22. 21, 22. Something like that. So she'll be, yeah, she'll go to three.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think this year is going to be a tough one still. I think she's got the speed to battle up front. But I think maybe this year, and then if not next year, I think definitely.
Yeah. The Olympic Games is Mariana's last race of her career.
Oh, hate to think about that, but I actually don't think it will be.
I agree. I don't think it will be either. I think she'll race after.
I kind of wish it was. Like, it's sad. Like, you know, at the end of the day, all the top names, big people, they retire eventually. And I never want to see them retire. But if they do, I want to see them go off with like just the coolest exit ever. So if she wins, I kind of want her to retire and just be like, I just won the Olympics and I'm going to retire. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I feel like she loves the sport. She loves her country, that I could see her going home, doing an event, and then at the end of the year or like next year or whatever, then calling it.
So you going no.
I'm going no, it's not her last race.
I'm going no also. Joris Daudet doesn't win an Olympic medal ever.
I think no. I think he does win. So it's a no to your statement. I think he does win a medal, and I think it's in Paris. Yeah. I think he's like, it's a last on his list. I know he wants it. He obviously is so dominant still. He keeps getting better. I think he knows how to get these things done, and he would have won one last time. It was just, it is what it is. It was a fluke slide out. But I think this time he gets it done.
I think he wins one too. Wins an Olympic medal, that is. Chula Vista. All right, next headline. Chula Vista Supercross hosts a World Cup.
No, I think that's dead in the water.
Never. Dead in the water.
I think that the Olympic training center in Chula Vista, that's not happening. That's a dead place for BMX now. Like, there's people still ride there. It's, you know, you like to see a little revamp every now and again, but it's not what it used to be.
All right. Holland qualifies one elite men spot for the 2028 Olympics.
Yes.
I think so too. I think they just get one.
Yeah, I don't know how they would. I'm trying to think how they would get two. They would have to have somebody in the finals doing very well. Probably at least two people doing well, though, at events. Will Neek race to 2028? Undetermined. Are the guys coming up able to do that yet? Undetermined. So, yeah, I think they get one.
All right, we'll do a quick Coach's Corner segment before we have a couple more things. I've had some riders reach out asking if it makes a difference if you watch the lights in the gate or listen to the beeps. My personal opinion is no. It's personal preference to how you best react, and I think that as long as you can time the gate properly and you get in a good position through the snap and set up your second pedal well and have good gate form, I don't think it matters. In saying that, you definitely, there are some benefits to watching the lights. Like, you, for instance, naturally, as humans, we react to sight or light faster than we do sound. So you can technically have a faster reaction time. It's generally not an issue because most people have issues with hitting the gate and have to slow down the reaction time anyway. So it's typically not a problem. And I think it's easier, like if there's a lot of background noise, to watch the lights and react to something visual and just the red light flashing rather than trying to pick apart beeps when there's a lot of background noise or people are clipping in behind the gate or whatever. But generally, I don't think it matters, and I don't think you need to switch just because you might think one is better than the other. What do you think?
I think it's all personal preference, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is. I think you can try to make an argument for both. Looking at the lights, you might be able to react faster. Yeah, you know, maybe less distractions. But there's the argument to listening, where you can keep your head and body in a more proper sprinting position. You don't have to turn your head back, so... That's why I think it's just personal preference. You see guys do both.
Yeah, there's good starters and world-class starters that listen to the light or listen to the beeps and watch the lights. I know some people that try and make riders switch to watching the lights, and I just don't understand, because literally the only fucking thing that matters is you get in a good position through the snap and you're in a good position for your second pedal. How you get there doesn't really matter. Like, where you stand in the gate, where your pedal's at, where how you react, as long as you're in a good position through the snap, who cares? Because everyone has a different way of getting there. As long as you get there, none of the rest matters.
Is there any science behind, like, what other sports out there require listening, a listening reaction?
100-meter sprint.
100-meter sprint. There you go. Yeah, that's all you need. Yeah. There's one. So you got sports in both. And then you got, like, Formula One, reaction times off the lights. So
yep.
It goes both ways. Like, your reaction time is going to be fast no matter what. Like, 100-meter sprinter guys are fast as shit off the blocks.
I always watched the lights, like, my whole life growing up and everything. And then, like, 2012, I started listening to the beeps because I found I was hitting the gate often. I wanted to delay my timing a bit. And I felt like I could just stare at the kink or stare down the hill, like find a spot on the hill. And it was a lot simpler. Like I just look forward, hear the beeps and kind of drive forward.
Yeah.
I did that for like 2 years, went to the Worlds in Rotterdam in 2014. I was still listening. But then in the stadium, I found like a lot of background noise in practice and stuff was hard to react to sound consistently. So then I switched back to watching the lights and I did lights the rest of my career. Yeah.
That's kind of crazy, hey?
Yeah. I mean,
what's wild about that too is I'm sure if you, like in racing, like when it got to the eights, when it got to the quarters, semis, especially in the main, it was probably dead silent. You could hear a pin drop in there. But getting to that point in practice was probably, lots of noises. I imagine that's why you couldn't hear. So it's like you couldn't practice on what the actual conditions were in like the heat of the moment.
Yeah. And it's just like, it doesn't matter, but you just find what works.
Interesting.
Find what works. Yeah. Okay. We talked about this pre-show. We think this is a very interesting topic. So
some people may be upset. Some people may not. Some people may have their opinion.
And it's definitely not like
I think it's almost a compliment in one sense.
It almost is a compliment. We're going to look at it objectively and kind of see what we think. But question, who had the most disappointing career with the most promise?
Well, my answer first.
Let's hear.
My first, I might have multiple answers. My first answer, I think Joey Bradford.
That's a fucking good one. And I would agree.
Dude, he came out like, I remember as a kid, I heard his name and then I watched him and he won junior, right? World. Did he win junior? No, sorry. Yvonne won juniors in 2007 in Victoria, but obviously Joey was flying fast.
Was winning, yeah.
I kept hearing, like, I've heard things like that guy was super fast and all this stuff. And then you see videos of him, like, doing sprints. And then there was the Chula World Cup where he's coming back and he was flying.
Dude, hole shotting Maris by no joke, four bikes and motos.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then unfortunately, it just never evolved into him as much more as I think people would have expected.
And I would completely agree. He won the world championships almost every year as a kid. Unbelievably talented. So genetically gifted, like so explosive, so fast. Could not train and still light up everybody at gate practice. Like, it's seriously incredible. Like, the natural gifts this guy had, people would kill for. Oh,
He still has a coach. I remember seeing videos of him doing like a box start sprint.
Oh,
and
he'd
like
God,
do three pedals up. And it looks like he was just like just chopping wood casually off the start in a good way. Like he was just three up, no problem.
And it's like his gait was good. His first straight was good. His skills were good.
He had
every single tool. Yeah. And I mean, he did win some races in elite, like in ABA and NBL. So it's not like he didn't do anything, obviously. But like for how you'd say good he was and how much talent he had, he never really panned into being like a top guy. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. And it's like, if you're going that, and no joke, like you're saying, in Chula Vista that one year, I think it was 2012, he had Maris in motos. He hole shot him the first two motos, no joke, four bike lengths to the corner.
He worked him, didn't he?
Like, I know it sounds ridiculous, people listening to us, but seriously, that's how much you beat him by.
He smoked him. I didn't even know what I was watching at the time, and I knew, I was like, holy shit, like he worked him. So do you have another answer?
I actually didn't have someone in mind, but I would completely agree.
Yeah. I could throw other ones and I think you could make an argument for them, but I just think that's the biggest one that stands out at this point.
Yeah. And then he got nerve damage in his hand. And I was actually thinking about it randomly the other day. Cause I was, you know, Adam seen Cirillo, obviously. Oh,
he retired, dude.
Oh, I know. So sad. I can't believe he retired.
That's the guy in the pro levels in motocross world. That's him. He's the guy.
Yeah. So, you know, he was talking about nerve damage in his hand.
Right.
Joey had nerve damage in his hand too. And he said like when he'd go, cause I remember in 2011 in Chile, he practiced and didn't race and looked super fast. Mm-hmm. So he had nerve damage in his hand from a crash. Like he broke his hand or something.
Okay.
And like at high speeds, he felt like he was going to blow off the handlebar cause he couldn't, like he'd get like numbing and tingling in his hand. And he said his hand would start slipping like when he was going down the first straight.
It's so scary.
Got to be infuriating too. Cause you're going that fast and like you're scared to just randomly crash. I couldn't imagine.
That'd be terrifying.
Oh my God.
I don't know if you probably listened to Adam's video and whatnot, but like it sucks that like he probably similar, like he was talking about his crashes and like, you know, he gets in the pro class, he wants to do well, wants to be successful, has crashes from trying to ride too hard sometimes, ride too, like he wants it too bad, goes a little overboard. And then from those crashes, he gets like issues like, yeah, his hand, his nerve damage. And then the problem with like controlling the throttle after that, because you have that damage in your arm, you're not able to like ride well. So you have other crashes and injuries because of that other one. Like that snowball effect of injuries really sucks when sucks an athlete that had so much potential.
Riding injured is brutal too. Like, you do your best to block it out, obviously, but if it hurts to do something specifically, you're kind of anticipating it and it kind of shocks you. It's really tough to ride injured.
Fucking sucks. Any athlete out there knows it sucks. Everyone does it. We all do it. We all push through a lot of shit. Some days it's small things. Other times it's fucking massive and it doesn't even matter. It sucks.
Heard some stats that was like at the Olympic Games, every single athlete almost is riding with something. Some like small injury of something.
But at that point, you could also say, I don't totally agree with that. Like, I do a little bit, but like people be like, oh, my quad's been sore for, you know, a couple weeks.
Could be anything. Yeah. So yeah. All right. Let's get into some questions from the grandstand.
Okay. Some of these are going to be long answer. We asked a bunch of questions this week. I got a few long answer questions to ask. You want a quick one first for us for a combo? This is from IRBMXUT. Do you guys still ride much or at all? After reaching the highest level of the sport, is it still fun for you guys to ride now that you're not at that peak level anymore?
I mean, I don't think I haven't rode in like 3 years probably. Yeah, I don't. I enjoy coaching and I love being around the sport and love being at the track and races, but like I don't care to just ride to ride.
Yeah, I don't. I haven't since last summer riding with Ryan. Do I miss it? Do I miss riding? My dad asked me that a while ago actually too. And I was like, kind of, yeah, I miss going to the track and doing like, playing games, doing lines, like doing half laps, racing guys for fun. I loved that stuff. So I'd miss a little bit, but I don't. Part of me doesn't want to go back to the track because I know how uncomfortable I'm going to be and where my head expects me to be, and I'm not going to be there. So I'm it's kind of a weird dynamic there.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I want to ask another one.
Oh, did I? You asked that one or did I?
I did.
Okay. I couldn't even remember. Selma Starr, how important is tire choice at the track in Paris? I mean, I think it's just the same as any other World Cup track.
Yeah, it probably won't be much different. I mean, the surface is that gravelly style surface that everyone's used to. Corners are the same asphalt everyone's used to. So I think it'll be a pretty standard issue. Like, BMX is weird that way. Maybe it's not.
We don't change anything.
No. People run the same shit all the time. Graf is probably out there losing his mind saying that, you know, he should probably be changing tires. And I wish we were. I wish we were changing compounds, but we don't do that. My turn. Mm-hmm. This one's from Sebastian MB. He says, it's a long question. What weighs more come race day for the French team in this case? Home advantage or more pressure added being the almost supposed to dominate?
Home advantage for sure.
You think so? Yeah, he says, curious because sure. There hasn't been a true home Olympics for any true top racer other than the 2012 for Liam Phillips, and that didn't work out for him.
I mean, I guess from my own personal experience, I raced some big races in Canada, World Championships and Pan Am Games. And yeah, I think it's more home advantage than anything.
Yeah, I think thinking back as well, like I feel like the French probably had a lot on their shoulders in Tokyo too. I think the three guys there, Sylvain, Joris, Romain, like we're all hoping, expecting to win or be on the podium. So that's a lot of pressure, a lot of weighs on you. So it's no, I think the Olympics already has that pressure. So having that home track advantage is just that extra bit that's probably... weighs more on that side.
I don't think there's any extra pressure, to be honest. Like, I think you're at your home country. I think you...
It's also the Olympics. Like, you're not going to be, like, sleeping in your own bed, probably. You know, no, it's everyone's like, in the same atmosphere at that event, so...
I don't think there's any extra, yeah. Yeah. MP112, what do we think about who the French team sent and did not send to the event? Sent the B team, huh? Why didn't... Okay, I had a question. They sent Colsonet, right? But
yes.
Why didn't they send Leo? There I am.
So I'm going to take a stab at here. I'm going to take a guess. Leo has come back from an injury in New Zealand.
Okay, I forgot.
Yeah, I know he's been riding. I imagine maybe he's just not ready to mix it up in the field and race. So that's my assumption that they sent him instead. But I'm also surprised they sent him instead of someone like Eddie Clerté.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or like Romain, like the other Romain.
Yeah, so good question. No idea.
Maybe he's young. They have high hopes for him in the future. So they said, here's the opportunity just to race this kind of event. Maybe the other guys declined because they know it wasn't worth it. That honestly could be part of it as well. But yeah, Sylvain was there. Yeah. Sylvain was there. Ren Carell. Oh, Sylvain didn't race, did he? Did he race? He raced. Yeah, no, he raced. Yeah, he was there. I'm racing. Sylvain, Ren Carell, Pills, and Clausen.
Pills, Ren Carell, Sylvain and Colson, wasn't it?
I think those are the four.
Yeah.
Yeah, for them. So two of the French guys are already on the podium. Will those
two guys be at the Olympic Games? We don't know. We don't know, which is insane. My turn. From Luke Davies. He says, how come every Olympic track has become easier? Is it for safety or is it for looks? Is it, does it look better for viewers? And so we don't have men rolling through the pro set like we did due to wind in Rio.
That's a good question. I think I mean, the Olympic track when it was first built in Rio was a fucking disaster and way too technical, so they had to make it easier. So maybe they got some scar tissue from that and don't want that situation again. I also think they're like promoting equality between men and women, so I think they're probably making it kind of easier so both people can ride it, because there's only one third straight and like the second straights are kind of the same, so they're kind of trying to make it, I don't know, similar for men and women. What do you think?
Sounds spot on.
Yeah, I'm speculating, but
yeah, it's what we do here.
So we got a couple of these. Steve Sherman, what's the deal with Colson as a drivetrain setup? So did he have a weird sprocket on or something?
Yes, dude. Yes, really weird. I tried to
Did he have the oval one?
Me and Misha were talking about
this. Was it an oval one?
No. I would say weirder than the oval. Let me find the photo here. So he had a derailleur on the back, first of all. That was something. The front chain ring, it honestly, I thought it was a belt drive at first, how the way the teeth were and how thick the front gearing looked. But then after it kind of did a little review and I was like, okay, me and Misha were talking this through, was like the front chainring has...
Do you have a photo of it?
Yeah, it has a small chainring and also a big one. But then the big one, I think, also has two chainrings on it. So here's the thing.
Look at this thing.
So if people are...
That thing is thick with two C's.
It's going to be... It's going to be hard for people to understand what I'm talking about here. But so look at the top of the chainring.
Mm-hmm.
Look partway around the chainring. You see a black bit. I think that's like the...
That thing, right?
Yeah, that's like the... No, what? Yeah, it's kind of like... And then there's another chainring. The chain's on a different chainring underneath that. So I think the derailleur... There's like a derailleur in the back and then it's...
Why the fuck is it so front. Thick on the front?
So my thought is there's two gears. There's two big gears. The large size chainrings, there's two. And then I think that's other one. I fucking got nothing.
Just put a normal gear on and just run it.
Honestly, though. I got to
say, I'm a little old school with that stuff, but I think you just put a normal gear on and run it.
Maybe it's so there's so many chainrings on there so that if accidentally the derailleur fucks up or just in case the chain slaps around, maybe the chain stays on a chainring. I don't fucking know, but it...
Just run a normal gear. Oh, so that's where I'm at. I'm a simple guy.
Fair. It's fair. Run a normal gear.
Run a normal gear.
All right. Do you want to go again, please?
Yep. Hayden Gross 32. What are some ways to calm nerves in staging? Good question. Well, I think the first thing is acknowledging to yourself that you're nervous, and being nervous is good. It just means you care and you want to do well. So it's not a negative thing. Like, it can be a very positive thing, and you can use it for good energy. Some ways to calm yourself if you're feeling like really overwhelmed is just remind yourself that you're prepared for that moment. Go through the normal routine you do before every gate. Take some deep breaths. There's no like easy, one size fits all fix, but it's important to remember everyone gets nervous, and you just have to find ways that you can deal with it yourself and still ride your best.
What was your way to calm nerves if you're feeling them?
I would just take deep breaths, remind myself that I've been there before and I can do it, and just try to keep my mind really calm. I found that, you know, generally when you get nervous, like your body wants to move and stuff, I would consciously make myself sit really still, because I found that if I kept my body calm, my mind would stay calm. And I just reminded myself, like, it doesn't matter how I feel, it's what I do. So I could be like super nervous, anxious, whatever, and I just needed to focus on one simple thing. That would help me concentrate and then just go.
It's funny because I didn't think of that when I was racing. It wasn't one of my things, but I think about that now. In situations, I fidget a lot. I do a lot of fidgeting when I'm sitting still for long days or someone's talked to me, and I'm like, calm down, sit still, and if you sit still, you'll be calm.
Yeah, and I would act like really lazy. Like, I would just sit on my bike and just like relax all my muscles and just yawn and like, I don't know.
That would calm you down.
I started doing it in press conferences or interviews too. Like, if I was doing TV stuff and I was anxious and I felt like I wanted to move, I would just like force myself to stay really still, and it helped me calm my thoughts.
I like that.
Yeah, it helped. It kind of something that worked for me, a little trick.
Brings you back to consciousness where you're aware of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I love this question. I'm going to ask it from Scott Brohagen. What's the favorite place to get glizzies in Paris? I have no idea. It's a hot dog for people that don't know what a glizzy is.
The cart on the side of the street.
Yeah. Go to the local golf course and then that's probably the best place to get your glizzy.
Yorgi Picard, Olympic final predictions. We've made so many predictions. I don't know if we're predicting the same people we thought like months ago. I feel like we just do a new one every time.
Gosh, I wish. So we did a show a hot minute ago now that I think we did do a lot of predictions. It might even have been a year out from the Olympics. We did a prediction show. We're going to have to go back and check in on that, or I'd love if somebody just sent us our predictions. And then we're going to do an Olympic, a pre-Olympic show slash another prediction show for the Olympics before that show probably.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to see the difference of what we have. I don't know if you want to go through all that right now. This might not be the show for that.
This, I don't think it's the show for it.
Yeah. But we will do that, Yorgi. We will do
that. Yeah, we will.
We got a bunch from Schneider Jordy.
Seven, Schneider. In fact.
So let's hit some of these quick shot style, and then maybe if one's expanding one, we can expand. Can the world champion wear the rainbow jersey at the Olympics?
No.
No.
Go for it.
Will they get better number plates?
No.
Last year, the number plates were fine.
I don't know. I just said that one. I don't even remember what they were.
They were good.
I'm looking at the real one now. It's fine.
Yeah, they're good. They use good plates.
It's normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many riders will retire after the O show? Great question.
I bet a few do.
Yeah. I will say three plus or minus one.
Four, I'll go four.
Okay. Did you guys try to get tickets to the O show?
No.
No, I'm not flying there.
Sure not.
The boys are busy.
Yeah, we can just.
I got a job.
Sounds good. Just watch it on my couch with Savannah. That sounds great.
How does the Olympic selection work?
Different for every country.
Different country. There's country rankings and then there's individual rankings. It's kind of complicated. Countries earn spots based on their best three riders, and that can, if you earn those, if those riders earn points, then they put your country in a ranking spot that gives you a certain amount of spots for the Olympics. If you're not in those top 10 or 8 that gets in a country spot, you have to fight for an individual spot.
Just listening to you explain it, I know what the format is, and just you trying to, it's just fucking impossible to explain. We can barely explain it ourselves. How is a non-BMX person going to have any idea how to, what's going on?
No, I felt like a jackass just trying to explain that in a short amount of time. That was terrible.
I was like, he's going to get there.
Let him do his thing. He's working it out.
Man, it's so hard to explain to people. Jesus. You know, it's really hard to explain to people, where do you race pro? And it's like, well, you know, there's a pro USA BMX series, and then there's also World Cups, and there's also the Olympics, and then there's also the World Championships. It's just very, there's a lot of stuff to try to explain to people who don't know BMX.
It's really tough sometimes. I've been having a tough time because I'm in my training right now, and I don't like to talk about BMX in a ton in the sense I don't want to, I'm trying to be myself, trying to be a new person, not a new person, I'm trying to be whatever, in the present.
Normal guy.
Yeah, and like, so, but people know what I did, but they don't know the extent of what I did. So they all know they've heard the word BMX be thrown around. And I hate that it's still in life, especially at least in Canada, BMX is looked at as like, oh, you did that sport that kids do in skate park. Yeah. And it's like, I have to try to explain sometimes to my friends there. It's like, you guys don't understand what we do. Like people really don't understand how hard we train the professional, like how we take it. So
it's really pro. Okay.
Yeah. They're like, oh yeah, sure. Whatever. Two more from Jordy here. No, that's the same question. Here it is. How hard is it at the Olympics to represent your sponsor?
You're not allowed to. Actually. Well, they relaxed the rules now, actually, didn't they?
It's difficult. You can keep your decals on your bike and stuff like that, but you can't have any major decals anywhere else.
I remember in Rio and stuff, you couldn't even post about, like, I couldn't post, like, thanks to Answer Escort.
Yeah, you can't do that.
No, you can't. In London, it was pretty gnarly. We had to get, like, cover up parts of the bike and had to get like smaller stickers and had to cover up parts of our pants and stuff. Yeah. I think Rio, I had to rip a logo off my gloves. It was too big. I think they've relaxed it now, but
you still can't promote them on social media. That's one thing. So, and last one from him, sticking to the usual or trying something new at the Olympics?
Try something new that you've never done.
Absolutely. Put four gears on your bike, put an oval gear on and go on flat pedals.
Change your gear and cranks before first round.
Yeah.
From K-Sans 0301, will Mr. Cam Wood be 100% by world champs and Olympics? I don't know about world champs, but Olympics, I would think yes.
It's probably a fair assumption. I'm curious to know what his 100% is. Like, I could argue the fact that he won't be 100% until he gets surgery done.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, with working with what he's got, I think physically, otherwise, he'll be 100% by the Olympics.
From Rafael De Cola BMX, after seeing the test event, do you think that France can sweep the podium? I mean, can they? Yeah, but I don't think they do.
Correct. Man, it'd be nuts. I mean, they've done enough.
That would be fucking wild if they swept it. Oh my god, it's too many fast people. It's not gonna happen.
It'd be crazy. All right. Well, these two questions from Bruno Fernandez and I am Daniel Hay. But the chain ring, we're not going to ask those, but we will ask this from Eddie Cannons. A Supercross semifinal with no grips and gloves or barefoot?
Obviously, no grips, no gloves. You have a chance. You got no chance with barefoot. I mean, you really got no chance with just holding aluminum, but at least you have somewhat of a chance.
True. That's 100%
true. Just chalk up your hands and just fucking run it.
Yeah, what are you doing with your feet? If they're like, even if you put flat pedals on, that's going to hurt. Your feet are going to slip off or cut your toe off in the chain ring. You're screwed.
No chance.
Not a good one. There's no good option there. So that's a no-go.
ProGate Europe, winning starts at the Great Gate. Beth Schriever, great star on a ProGate Europe, winner of the Olympic test event. And we think she's going to be winner of the Olympic Games.
I think she is. You guys got to make your predictions. We'll start making our prediction. We're getting close. I mean, it's around the corner. We got
other
big events on a ProGate Europe coming up, though. World Cups, World Championships. BMX is exciting. We got Masters this week. I know everyone loves to hear about that. So
happy Masters week, everybody. Best week of the year.
It's absolutely the greatest fantastic week of
the
year.
If you don't watch live from the Masters during the week, what are you even doing?
It's crazy. I'm going to be real. I had a friend ask me what I was doing this weekend if I wanted to go out and go over and grab food.
Sorry, just can't do it.
I was like, as long as it doesn't interfere with the Masters, that's my weekend plan right now. I wrote it in my calendar, dude.
This once a year, it's hard to beat.
It's incredible. Yeah. Absolutely incredible. So.
Go Jordan Spieth, go Justin Thomas, go Tiger Woods.
Go, just go hit it hard, baby. Go crush it. Hit it hard, boys. Come on.
Snap on green.
Snap on green.
Well, what's this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee chatter?
Get off my back, guys. You have to be fast in the truck.
I hate that guy.